Grace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, where in verse 12 we read, "After the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Turning the clock way, 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 way back. Confirmation class, my home congregation, my home pastor, and he explained something to us. He said, technically, there is a difference between eternal life and everlasting life. The difference is everlasting life, well, it has a beginning, but continues on. Eternal life has no beginning and no end. So then he takes us to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have..." And he said, technically, should that be everlasting? There are some other verses. The other service we use, Divine Service 1, in between the epistle and the gospel, we have a response. "Lord, to whom shall we go?" That's Peter's response. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And one more, and this comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, that chapter where there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to rot, to die, a time to scatter, a time to gather, and so on and so on and so on. After which Solomon says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into the heart of man." What's that mean? And so we have Elijah standing at the entrance to the cave and God passing in front of him. And Elijah has come there to talk to God. Well, actually, that's not exactly right. What Elijah was doing was he was running away. He was running away from Queen Jezebel, running into the wilderness. And the reason why he was running away was that Jezebel had promised to kill him. And the reason why Jezebel had promised to kill him was because of what happened on Mount Carmel. And what happened on Mount Carmel was Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where Elijah issued this challenge: "You and I will get together and each will offer a sacrifice to his God. And the one who answers with fire from heaven, that's the true God." And you guys go first. And while the prophets of Baal called on Baal, who didn't seem to be answering, Elijah stood by the side and laughed and carried on and suggested that Baal was taking a nap or not paying attention, yell louder, or maybe he's gone behind the bushes to relieve himself, and mocked and ridiculed. And when they were all done, Elijah steps up, prays a simple and quiet prayer, and God answers. Sacrifice is consumed, and then the rains come and break the drought, and the false prophets were put to death, and Jezebel got mad, and that's why Elijah ran out into the wilderness to say to God, "It is enough, O Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my fathers." And God says, "No, you come to my mountain." And that brings us to the beginning of the text. And Elijah comes to the mountain of God, and God asks him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then God listens as Elijah unloads. And God will do it again and listen to Elijah unloading again. But in between, God says, "Go stand by the entrance and God will pass by." You know the story. First, there's a mighty wind splitting the rocks. Is God in the wind? No. Then comes an earthquake. Is God in the earthquake? Then comes a fire. Is God in the fire? No. Before I go on, this kind of dates me, gives you an idea of how old I am. Do you remember that old group, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yes.
Okay. There we are. Where did they get that name? Probably from here. Also from Greek philosophers. Greek philosopher time, because some of the Greek philosophers said, you know, the universe is all composed of four elements, and the four elements are earth, wind, fire, and water. In different mixes, you get different things. Okay. Was God in the wind? No. Earthquake? No. Fire? No. And then comes still small voice, that's the old translation. A quiet whisper, that's the new translation. And Elijah, he goes out to talk to God. At which point in my teaching, if I have a whiteboard, I'd draw a big circle and say, this represents the entire material created universe, okay? All the things that are created. Within the circle, where is God? He's outside the circle. He's not part of the creation. He is the creator. And that's terribly, terribly important. So, God is not part of the creation, so the prophets are looking at the nations around them and they're saying, what part of the word God don't you understand? He's not the creation, he's the creator. If you make a god of gold, you mold an idol, that's not God. It's a created thing. It can't be God. You make an idol of silver, same thing, can't be God. God is the creator. By definition, if it's a part of the creation, then it is not the creator. And we could add at the end of that rant that happens repeatedly in the prophets, we could add, arr! Or we could do facepalm. But they look around at the nations around who don't seem to get it. And they look at the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is doing this business of, why can't we have a god of gold or silver? All our friends have gods of gold or silver. Joey down the street has a god of gold or silver. Why can't I have a god of gold or silver? The prophets are going spare trying to teach that one simple point. And if God is outside the universe, he's not part of the universe, how does he communicate into the universe? How does he affect things in the universe? And the answer has four letters, and it's a word that is pronounced word. So God speaks, let there be light, and there's light. And God speaks and tells about himself. And he speaks to the heart and the soul, and we are to understand that he is there. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And he's calling the people of Israel to know that he is the God who created everything. But they want a God of gold or silver. And Elijah comes along and has to try and teach this. And after him, Elisha. And after him, another one. And God keeps calling his people to hear him in the word. That's the thing of it. And in a different time, at a different place, there is Simon Peter standing there after the feeding of the 5,000. After they're all disputing with Jesus and some are leaving. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Let me insert some things. There's whole bunches of things out there, all kinds of teachers that would teach us, but they don't have what we have in you. You have the words of eternal life. And Peter realizes that in the words of Jesus, there's not just life, there's eternal in those words. There is eternity in the words of Jesus. Because the eternity is from outside of the creation, and the Word of God brings that eternity to us. And when Solomon says, "He has put eternity into the heart of man," we know, don't we? We know that the stuff of this world is not eternal. It comes and goes. It's transitory. Kind of like the power earlier this morning was transitory. And we came in and we found the lights were only flickery. No microphone, no Clavinova. No air conditioning until partway through the sermon. Then we said, "Thank you, God." And I start having to yell quite as loud. The things we have in this life, they're transitory. They come, they go. Our life, it comes and it will go. And there's only one thing that is eternal. And that is from God spoken into this world. Now I have to tell you a story. Some years ago, I was working with a religion class at a Lutheran high school. And they went on a field trip. And one of the young men going on the field trip met a young lady on the field trip. And he thought she was really cute. And started talking about beliefs, and she was a Wiccan. Pastor Willig, what's a Wiccan? A Wiccan is one who believes in forces of nature being the stuff that you tie into for your religion. Crystals and the vibration of the crystals, but that's stuff of nature that is not God. Baal in the Old Testament. Baal was a storm god. If he's a storm god, then he is force of nature thing, if he even exists. And if it's force of nature, then Baal is not God. Because if it's part of the created world, it's not God. Arg and facepalm, even. Okay? And these things happen all around us with the whole world kind of having drifted back to Mount Carmel. We want gods of gold and silver. Didn't you read your Bible? chasing after everything of this world, and it doesn't satisfy. That's why Solomon comes along, even back then, he has put eternity into the heart of man. We know that we need eternity. So where do we get this eternity? We get this eternity in the Word of God. The Word of God come into this world, born for us, Word of God. The Word of God then speaking the Word of God to us. You want to hear some eternity? Here's some eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what is it? Because it is the life from God given to us. And while we might be everlasting, the life that he is giving, if it comes from him, it's the eternal stuff. Doesn't come and go. It is from the one who says, I am that I am. He is the eternal one. You want to hear some more eternity? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And some more eternity? Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And right then, the thief on the cross has eternity given to him so he can be everlasting. Another word of eternity? Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man has to live and come out of the tomb. And here's another word of eternity. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's an eternal word. Because what Jesus did on the cross is an eternal thing. It's not just something that happened for 3 hours way back then on a hill outside of Jerusalem on a Friday. It's an eternal thing, where Jesus stands in our place, taking the wrath of the law on himself, bearing the punishment so that we could have eternal forgiveness and eternal life, so we could have eternity. And that is very different from anything else in this world. Doesn't come and go. And no squirrel munching on it will take it out like they did the power this morning. I want to see how Paula eliminates that line from the sermon. But he comes to us and he gives that stuff of eternity, bound up in his word. His word is eternal words, right? So he takes his eternal word and he puts it into our heart and into our soul, and we have eternity within us. And then a few years back, it was Wade Tondini sitting in this chair right here. I asked him a question. If you have the eternal word of God that he puts into your soul, what does that make you? And he didn't answer everlasting. Eternal. That's the eternal stuff from God to you. Changes everything. And then God takes and he takes his eternal word and he stirs it up in the water and he pours it over your head and into your soul. And he puts eternity in you. And then he takes his eternal word and he works it together with bread and wine in the body and blood of Jesus, and he puts it on your tongue. And you eat and drink eternity. And this is what it means to belong to an eternal God. And there is nothing like it. In Jesus' name, amen.